We started a preaching series back in September, actually, and it's been called A Future and a Hope. And the whole purpose of this series has been to look at some of the promises that God makes to you and to me throughout the Bible. And I think it's just for the feedback I've been getting from people that it's actually been really helpful, encouraging. And that's really what God's promises are. They are immensely helpful. We can build our lives upon them. They are given for your encouragement, your security. They enable you to walk strongly and assuredly through this life. And so even though we're moving on from the series, don't move on from God's promises. Keep them in mind. Keep them front and center. And every time in Scripture you read something, you think, that's a promise to me. I can stand on that and I can keep hold of that. I would encourage you to do so. We're going to look at a promise today. And actually, Vernon, it's just going to be up on the screen, so we probably don't need the Bibles. So God wants us not just to exist through life, not just to kind of survive and just about make it. Actually, he's called each one of us to be on an adventure with him. And the promise that I want us to look at today is in Ephesians. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and it's this one, 8 to 10, actually. It says this. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we are created in Christ Jesus, saved by God's grace, deserving nothing, and yet rescued from sin through the work of Jesus. But God has a purpose in mind for each one of us. It was so that you could do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So not only was your salvation a work of God's grace, but the life that he then wants you to lead and brings you into, that is a work of God's grace as well. That is a gift from him too. It comes from him. He's prepared it in advance. And this morning, therefore, I want to talk about what that means. What does it mean for God to have prepared things for you? And it's this whole area of a personal calling. What has God called you to do in your life? Now, I've just started a new blog. Let me just show you a little screenshot. And this is a shameless bit of promotion here. I'm on a bit of a campaign. And I've started this blog. It's a way of keeping in touch with people in Grace Church across three sites. That's what it's for. So I just encourage you to go and have a look. And you can put in your email address and follow me if you want to. And there you go, infomercial over. I was over the new year, I wrote something on there. There's only two posts at the moment. They're the two there. And I wrote one of those from Acts 13, actually, that in-between times one. Acts 13... This is why I thought I could get that in there. Is because Acts 13 is when Paul and Barnabas are gathered in the church at Antioch, and they are sent out from that church. And it says there in Acts 13, verse 2, the Holy Spirit speaks to them and says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." There was a calling on their lives. God had placed that calling on them. Works prepared in advance. And so God has called you personally. And the question is, how has God called you? How do you know that? What does that even look like? Well, first of all, God called you to be a Christian in the first place. That was an effect of God's call on your life. It says in Romans 8, verse 29 and 30, it says, "Those God predestined to be conformed to Jesus, he also called. And those he called, he justified. So that's where the God's call starts in your life. It starts as he calls you into his kingdom, as you become a Christian. There was somebody I was in conversation with not so long ago. They'd become a Christian fairly recently. It was all quite new. And what they said to me was, I've given my life to Jesus, but I'm just not sure he's noticed yet. It's like, I've done my part, and it's like, Jesus, I'm here. Woo. And I'm trying to get his attention. Do you see how that's wrong thinking? You don't have to get Jesus' attention. You've been handpicked by God, called and chosen by him. So let me just ask you the question, how do you know? How do you know if God has called you to be a Christian? Well, here's how I think you know. You find that the way you feel towards God has changed. You used to be hostile towards him. You used to just be cold or a bit meh towards God. But now you find him compelling. You find him lovely. And you find that what you believe about God has changed. You now think, yeah, Jesus died for me. I just find I believe it. He paid for my sin. It just seems to make sense to me now, where once it didn't. That's how you know that God has called you into his kingdom. And you respond with repentance and faith. And that might describe you, even today. And if you wouldn't have described yourself as a Christian, but you find those things to be true, what you need to realize is that an amazing transformation is happening in your life. It's wonderful, and you can explore it and get somebody to pray for you. Because it's nothing that you have done. It's nothing that we can do ourselves. This is all God's doing. Our promise says we are his workmanship. And I tell you, that's true. It's his doing. He puts that call on your life, brings you into Jesus' hands. So that's the first way. Secondly, he calls you to live as a Christian. He calls Christians to live in a certain way, because God's call is not just to get you across a line of salvation. He actually calls you into a lifestyle. He calls you into a relationship with God as your Father. Here in Grace Church, we're not trying to make converts. We're looking to make disciples, followers of Jesus, and he calls you to live in a way that is holy. He calls you to imitate the characteristics and the qualities of Jesus fundamentally in your own life. Even when life is hard and tough, it says in 1 Peter 2:21, it says, "For this you have been called." This is what it's for. "Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example, so that you might follow in his steps." So we've all been called to follow in the steps of Christ. How do you know if you've been called to live as a Christian should live? Well, that's an easy one, because every Christian has. There's just no exceptions. You just read his word, you read the Bible, you apply it to your life. Don't sit around thinking, well, I'm not sure if God has called me to belong to a church. Yes, he has. It's in the Bible. He just has. Would God want me to treat my body well and I don't know, exercise moderation with food and alcohol and that sort of thing? Well, yes, he would, because it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's in the Bible. It's in his word. You might think, oh, I'm not really sure. I need to share my faith with others. I sort of feel that's other people's job. It's not for me. Well, yes, it is. That's God's call on your life. How do you know? Well, it's in the Bible. You see, there is a general call of God, not just to get over a line of faith, but to actually live, outwork your Christian life. And that call exists on all of us. I want to suggest to you, though, there is a third way in which God can call you in your life. And that's to give you a specific task, a specific job that he has reserved just for you and you alone. So I call that a personal call. It might be your life's work. It might It might be smaller. It might be related to the job you do, or it might be separate from that. But there is work for you to do in God's kingdom. There is ground that he wants you to take. So it says in Ephesians, doesn't it, in our promise, we are God's workmanship created in Christ for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Even as God looked through time and he planned that you would be in his kingdom, he also prepared works and tasks for you to walk in. And it would be impossible for you to kind of walk in these good works if you'd not first been created in Christ Jesus. But now you are, you need to be ready for the call of God on your life. And I can identify specific times in my own life where I've just known, yeah, this is God's call. This is what he's calling me to. The first, I guess, was when I was a young man and someone prophesied over me. I was just in church one day, visiting another church actually. Someone prophesied over me that I would be someone who is not always just going to sit in the rows, as it were, but someone who would stand in front of churches. And I was a kid at the time, really. I thought, what? But I remember there was a call that birthed, and there were other prophetic words that came. It was this kind of developing thing that I'd just be involved in church leadership. I felt a clear call to come into eldership when that moment came. And I know when the time came, God called me to leave my job as an engineer and be released to work for the church full time. In fact, it was only this week that I realized that, because it was 2006 when I went full time, which is it's coming up for 11 years ago, and it was 11 years that I worked as an engineer since graduating. So now working for the church is the majority of my working life. And suddenly I feel very old. But I remember that moment, though, and I remember that sense of God's call on my life. And I know that same certainty that God has called me to take over as lead elder of Grace Church. Me and Steve and Guy, we started to talk about it back before the summer, and we're weighing it up. And I already knew that God was stirring something within me, that there was a new chapter going to open up in my life. But as we started to consider it seriously and pray into it, I just felt this overwhelming sense of God's affirmation. That sense of him saying, I'm with you, David. And he began to just sort of sow strategies and plans into my spirit. And so we prayed and we checked it out, the apostolic and the team here, and it just seemed right. And so that's where we are. That's where we got to. And it happens on Wednesday, and it's a bit scary. But I just know that I am called to this. So that's just me, all right? And we are all different. I think we should all have that same expectation of listening and expecting to hear from God for our lives. He has created you for some good work. He has prepared it in advance. And now he's preparing you to take hold of that for which he took hold of you. So for you, it's obviously going to be different. It may be something in the moment that you're involved in. It might be something that opens up in front of you. Say it may just, it could be all sorts. The small, the big, that's not the point. The point is that God has it for you. I was trying to think of examples of what might constitute the call of God. And it's obviously very, very broad, isn't it? Could be anything. But when I thought about it, I thought, well, yeah, but there are sort of categories that it might sort of fall into. So just in case this helps, I mean, it may be it falls under the whole category of serving the church. And it might be you just feel God saying to you, what I really want you to do is build the church, make it great. Invest in the lives of our children and young people, maybe. Or to really gather the church in great times of worship, or really set a culture of hospitality and welcome and love. This whole kind of thing, I believe the job that God has got for me is to make church great. And that's like a whole area. And that these sort of overlap massively. But then another kind of angle that you can come from it is, well, I just think God's called me to serve the poor. Maybe your heart breaks over the needs of your community or communities around the world. Or maybe you feel called to correct injustice where you see it. And you think, well, that's not right. And I can make a difference there. That's not separate from church, serving church, because that's obviously a massive part of what we are about as a church. So it overlaps. But it's just coming at it from a different angle, isn't it? And then I think there's another whole area, which is just bringing God's kingdom to the place that God has put you at the moment. Maybe he's placed you in a position or even a job or something where you can share your faith with people or just be an influence for God's kingdom, just bringing righteousness. Maybe God's got a handful of people that he wants you to reach out to. It might be your family. It might be the people you work with or the people down your street. But it is ground that God wants you to take. And he might be calling you to plant new churches or be part of church plants. And it might be in this part of the world. It might be in another part of the world altogether. And it's all important, isn't it? Nobody can do it all, but we can all play our part. So I guess that's the first thing, is that God has got a call for us. He's put a call on your life And you might know what your call is. You might think, yeah, I know what that is, and I'm doing it, and that's brilliant. You might have been walking in it for years and seeing much fruit along the way, and that's fantastic. And alternatively, this might be an entirely new concept for you. And you thought, well, I don't know. I'm not able to recognize any specific thing at the moment, or maybe you did once in the past, and now you're really not sure anymore. So let me ask the important question then, how do I know? How am I supposed to be able to tell what God's calling is? How do I work it out? Well, actually, it's quite instructive, I think, to look back at Acts 13, where I kind of started. Barnabas and Saul being sent out from the church in Antioch on mission, because that was the work that God had called them to. And let me just stick the verse up there. Says the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And I think as you look at that and you look at what happened there, it's really quite instructive about how we can find what our calling is and walk in that. So here's the first thing. Be ready to hear from God. How do you hear God's call for your life? The first thing is to be ready. Get into a place where you can hear God well. Have a heart attitude that is open to God. You see, Barnabas and Saul were in a context of worship and prayer and fasting. And if you want to hear from the Father, you've got to walk closely with the Father. Because fundamentally, he doesn't want your activity. He wants your heart. Give it to him in worship. So start there. Be a worshiper. Pray. Read your Bible. It's amazing how often in conversation with people, I will hear people say things like, I don't know what God's doing in my life. I don't know what's. I'd love to know what God's direction is for me and things like that. And so I would ask them, so what are you reading in the Bible at the moment? I say, well, I haven't really got time for that, to be honest. And it's like, well, you expect God to send you an email, maybe, or a letter through the post. Now, you've got to get to where God is. Be a worshiper. Come before him. Now, I'm not limiting God. Of course, he can do whatever he wants with whomever he wants at any point in time. But surely, if you want to hear God's specific call on your life, you need to take seriously things that you know he has called you to. Make every effort to build the church, to serve the poor, to see God's kingdom come to new places and to new lives. Don't forget the basics that we are all called to. Do what you can to stay in a close, open, meaningful relationship with God. And I think along the way, we kind of need to check our own heart, don't we? Deal with any sin, deal with any wrong attitudes that are there. I love the way that Paul starts his letter to the Romans, particularly. It was usual back then to start a letter by introducing yourself. And I mean, when we write a letter, nobody writes letters anymore, do they? But when you write like a letter, you write the whole thing, you put your name at the bottom, which always struck me as a bit odd, because you have to read the whole thing, don't you, before you find out who it's from. And actually, when we send emails now, you do put your name at the top. I think it's just so much more helpful. It's a good development. We've gone back to the first century of starting by introducing ourselves. So that's a good retrograde step. So when Paul starts Romans, he starts by introducing himself. He could have said, "This is from Paul, the superstar apostle of God." Actually, he starts his letter, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle." You see, in Paul's thinking, he knew he was called, but before he was called to be an apostle, he was a servant. Someone said to him, "Who are you?" He'd say, "Well, I'm Paul, the servant." And that's got to be our attitude, that we come before God with humility. Say to him, "I can't believe, God, that you are willing to speak into my life. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be kind of partnered with you in your mission, but I just want to say I'm ready to listen." Whatever it is, if it's a big thing, if it's a small thing, if it's a public role, if it's a hidden role, my desire is simply to serve you. Just come with humility. So get into a position in your heart where God can speak to you and you're ready to listen. That's the first thing. Secondly, just remember the importance of church. Expect your calling in God to fit in with local church. It's not separate, it kind of fits. You see, Saul, who was known as Paul later on, but Saul at this point, he first received his call from God on the day of his conversion. Now, you can read about that in Acts chapter 9. So that's 10, 11, 12, 13. That's four chapters before Acts 13. Acts chapter 9 is his conversion. And he actually tells the story later on in Acts as well. And when he's telling the story, he says, "When in my conversion," he says, "Jesus spoke to him and said, 'I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light.'" You see, this was Jesus placing a call on Saul's life. So Saul had a personal sense of what God had called him to as an individual, but he didn't actually begin to walk in that calling until he was in the context of the local church in Antioch. And it was the church together under spiritual leadership that agreed what that mission would be and shaped it. You see, at an emotional, a spiritual level, the whole church there at Antioch had buy-in, had ownership of that mission that Saul and Barnabas were embarking on. They were sent. And so as you're considering what God might be calling you to do and you to be a part of, being rooted in Grace Church, it's absolutely vital. And it's vital in four ways. Let me tell you this. Firstly, because you are more likely to hear God clearly or have a call of God confirmed prophetically when you are gathered together with believers. That's just the way it works, because the gifting of the Spirit flows like that and blesses one another. We're a body together. When I was considering our move from Winchester to Chichester in 2010, and I was at a complete loss actually to know what to do. I didn't really want to move, to be honest, and I'm glad I did, just to say. But I'm just not a big moving around sort of type, and I was at a loss. I was in a bit of a quandary. I couldn't work out what to do. I was in a worship meeting in our church in Winchester, and I was worshiping, just pouring out my heart to God, a bit fed up really. And a godly guy in the church there just came over to me, and he knew nothing about my situation at all, and he just said, "I feel God is saying that you are leaning on an open door, and he's saying you need to go. You need to go." Now in Antioch, it wasn't Barnabas and Saul that God spoke to, actually. It was the other guys who were present there. God said to them, oh, set apart Barnabas and Saul. It's so important that we remember that we are a body together and we hear God that way. So you need to stay rooted into church, get to prayer meetings, get to your life group, because God is most likely to speak into your life, working through the lives of and gifting of other Christians around you. That is just how it works. The second reason to prioritize church is that God will speak to you through what the church is already doing. Now, God has called Steve onto to Woking, me into to lead eldership here. But it's not about us as individuals. We're all in this together as a church, actually. And church is together in commission, in our family of churches. If you're wondering what God is calling you to do, start by getting involved with what the church is doing. And I tell you, you won't go far wrong. That's just how it works. Nobody can say, I've just got no idea what God is calling me to do. Because I know that God is calling us all to establish a vibrant, growing church here in Midhurst. Let's just get on with it. I'd love to see Alpha launched here in Midhurst. We tried last year, didn't we? It was a false start, really. And you think, come on, God, we're not giving up that easy. And so, just as John was saying, I think, you know, we've got the flyers here for the Alpha Courts in Chichester. And yeah, that'll happen and that'll be great. But I'd love us to be running something here in Midhurst. Can we really kind of, let's work hard to see if there's anybody we can encourage. And we'll get a group together. Let's run Alpha here in Midhurst. And we might do that in somebody's home. And it'll be friendly and low key, but it will have all the power and fruit of Alpha. I really know it will. So yeah. Can I just give another sort of appeal and plug for that? This is what we're called to do. You know, we don't need to sit around thinking, well, what's my call? Just get on and do what we're doing together. Thirdly, in a church context, you can just get advice from godly men and women around you. If you feel God has put something in your heart, just check it out with others, people you trust, maybe a life group leader or site leader or me or anybody, just somebody you trust, somebody you know is walking with God themselves. Even prophetic words must be weighed and prayed into. Get somebody alongside you to pray through the process. It's important. And it might be that you need a word of caution or sanity. And it may be you just need a nudge to get you moving. I often need that. I remember when it came to being full-time for the church, it was John Groves who just kind of came alongside me and said, come on, David, it's now. Make it happen. It's that nudge that I needed. And then, fourthly, even as you begin to work out your calling, as you start to begin to do something, make sure that you're doing that with the support and backing of your church. You never get that feeling that Saul and Barnabas were in competition with the church in Antioch. He never acted as a lone agent. It was never a case of, well, yeah, my church is involved in all this stuff, but personally, my thing is this. It was never like that. He submitted his calling to the point where the whole church could embrace it, support it, pray into it. And this was a preparation time for Saul. It was probably also, it took a lot of patience and humility. Between Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 13, okay, it's only four chapters, but it is 12 years. 12 years between Saul receiving his calling and actually being released to walk in that calling. 12 years, that's a long time. So for you, just maybe be patient. It may be what God would want you to do is something that you can start right away or something you're already doing and you can get on with. But it may be that you just need to wait a while. And either way, whether you're waiting or whether you are embarking on something and beginning something, get people around you to support you in prayer. It's about getting the church to own together what God has called you to as an individual. So important. So, it may be something that we're not doing at the moment. And it might be that God is talking to you about an entirely new area of ministry. I tell you what, it's good to hear that. submit that into a church context. Let's talk about it. Let's pray into it. And I'll explain that over the sort of next few weeks probably. But I just feel in my spirit that this season of transition within Grace Church is actually a season of creativity for us as a church. I think it's a way of really exploring kind of new things, new ways of doing stuff and just new things we could be doing. So I'm excited about the creativity that's going to be released. So be part of that. So let's I need to get on with this. Okay, number three, how do I know what God's calling me to? Well, you can actually look for opposition and expect opposition. Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit, probably leaving that place in Antioch feeling pretty invincible. They were prayed out. They got the call of God on their lives. The Holy Spirit is with them. And they traveled to Cyprus. And not long into their trip, there was someone there called Elymas saying, "Don't listen to these fools. They don't know what they're talking about. It's just a pack of lies." And then they went from there, Saul and Barnabas, they went to a place called Antioch, just to confuse. It's a different Antioch from the first Antioch. But they went there and they saw some people saved, but they also experienced a huge backlash from the important people in the city who basically started a riot. So they had to run for their lives. And at that point, they could have said, "You know what, it's been nice, but should we just go home? Because, I mean, blimey, this is hard. I didn't know that following God was going to be so dangerous. I mean, let's just go home." Of course, they didn't, did they? They pressed forward. There were setbacks, but they kept going. They were listening to God all the time. But they weren't fazed by opposition. Whatever God has called you to, it is a call to engage in a spiritual battle, because there is ground that God wants you to take for his kingdom, and that ground is currently enemy occupied. And the enemy, that's the devil, he's not going to give it up without fight. And the way you win that fight is you pray. You use the spiritual armor that is described in Ephesians 6. That's declaring the truth of Scripture and remembering these promises that we've covered on this series, and remembering who you are in Christ, standing on the truth of God's word. Don't be surprised if it's not all plain sailing. "Oh, I thought I heard from God, but this is hard." Well, it probably will be. When we moved to Chichester, many things fell into place quickly. That was great. But one thing we really battled through was the school for Sam and Jake. It just was hard. And it was a real battle. And we had to just keep listening, keep praying, keep coming before God and asking him. And I tell you, don't be put off easily from God's call in your life, especially by circumstances that don't go your way. And then finally, just one more thing to say about listening for your particular calling from God, and it would be this. Remember that what we're dealing with here in this promise is the grace of God. We use these analogies, don't we, of being a soldier in God's army and spiritual warfare. And to be fair, do you know what, Scripture does use those pictures. They are biblical. If we only focus on that aspect, then you can start to feel like an expendable foot soldier, can't you? In a faceless army. You know, I'm just there. I'm dispensable, expendable. But that's not right at all. That's not the way God works. The Bible says other things as well. He says it's your Father that calls you. That you stand in his grace, and whatever he has called you to, his grace is sufficient for you in any and every situation. There are two things I hear in conversation with people from time to time. Some people, I just detect, they're afraid to ask God for a specific calling because they're convinced that God will ask them to do the very thing they would hate the most. It's like, well, I'm not listening to God because he'll tell me to go to the Yemen or something. You know, I don't want to ask. He's going to make me miserable. Have you read the Bible? He's really not like that. If you want to find out what your personal calling is, the place to start is what you love doing. And what is the thing that you would love to do? What's the thing that gets you excited? What fits with your character or the things that have shaped you up to this point in your life? So I think that God is good. You can trust him. His plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future and a hope. To prosper you and not to harm you. In the ESV Bible, it says his plans are for your welfare. And I love that. Look for God to move your heart before he moves your feet. What do you want to do? And yeah, there could be opposition and there could even be persecution. There was for Saul and for Barnabas. There was huge opposition. But the last verse of chapter 13, it says this. It says the disciples were filled with joy. Actually, they enjoyed it. It was fun. There should be that yes confirmation in your spirit. I just know this is what I should be doing. There's a joy in that, a joy in walking in God's calling. It's the very best thing you can do. The second thing that I hear occasionally, it's not uncommon, maybe you'd relate to this, is people who say, I did know what my calling was. I thought I knew, but I missed it. And you still live with something in your heart, but all the opportunity has gone. I used to get the train back from London to Winchester on a daily basis. And end of the day, you know, your brain's a bit foggy. And on more than one occasion, I managed to get on the wrong train. And, you know, you rush on, you get on and you sit down, think, ah, oh, and the train trundles out the station. And at a certain point, usually around Clapham Junction, it kind of does a little kind of shift to the left. And you think, oh, bother. And you see the train line that you're meant to be on just kind of moving away like that. And it's like, oh, nothing I can do about that now. And it goes into a cutting and gone forever. Just get a train all the way back again. And, oh, bad days. Life can seem like that sometimes. I want to be on that track over there. That's the one. That's what I really want to be doing, and yet the further I go, the further away it seems to move. Well, like the person who thinks that God is going to do them harm, you need to be assured actually of the grace of God. God's plan for your life, you know, those plans that are good and pleasing and perfect, they always start from where you are right now. They never start from yesterday. They never start from last year or 10 years ago. There's no merit in thinking, if only I was on that track over there, if only I was a different type of person, if only I'd done something different previously. Because God's plan for you doesn't start from over there. It starts from right here, where you are today. And God knew that you would be in this place at this time, and he's calling you forward. From here, that is his sovereign grace. He wants you to hear his call. He wants you to walk in obedience, saying, yeah, okay, God, I will follow where you lead. What an amazing privilege it is to have the God of creation come and partner with you in his mission and give you a personal call. God is working in you. You are his workmanship. He has created you in Christ Jesus. He has prepared good works for you in advance. Especially for you. So if you asked that question recently, I wonder what God's call is on my life. How can I serve him? What ground has he got for me to take and me alone? It's a good question to ask, I think. What I'd love us to do is just come back to worship. So Sam, if you wouldn't mind coming up. And I'll just, as we finish, just want to invite the Holy Spirit just to be amongst us, just bringing assurance of his love and his grace. And you know, God might just want to affirm to you again the thing you're doing, the thing he's called to you, the thing he's called you to do, or maybe he just wants to sow seeds, even this morning. Just say, come on, there's a new thing. It's a fresh calling, new development in the plan for your life, and I just want to give God an opportunity just to speak to us as we close. Let's stand together. So just as the music begins to play, just begin to just kind of come before God in your own heart, in your own way. Just say, Lord, we just want to say we love you. So grateful that you called me into your kingdom, into your presence. I want to thank you that you have taken a hold of my life. When I think about the alternative, it's just too bad to contemplate. I thank you that you took hold of me. Thank you for your grace that is available to me even right now. I just receive that grace. I pray, Lord, that you'd show me again what you have taken hold of me for. May I know what it is to walk in the thing, to take hold myself of that for which you took hold of me. We just want to open our hearts to you again. Say, speak, Holy Spirit. Speak, Holy Spirit. I just want to say we're listening. We want nothing more than to be your person in the right place at the right time. Bring the assurance of your love. Even now, I just pray, Holy Spirit, just be birthing fresh calling in people right now. Come, oh God. Come, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.